Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. How can a business become more sustainable? Monitor their energy and resource usage, how to take small steps to make a difference for their employees and for the company at large, and to compare their actions to other businesses and learn from others some of the sustainable successes other businesses have had. That's the purpose of the Triple Bottom Line Scorecard developed by Sustainable Tulsa. The scorecard offers best business practices in over 140 matrices over 7 content areas and offer companies benchmarking data as well as coaching to bring savings, employee retention, and acknowledgement that their efforts at sustainability are making a difference. The first pilot program is just completed, and the first full year of the scorecard is due to begin in the fall. I'm joined by Corey Williams, the Executive Director of Sustainable Tulsa, who recently celebrated the end of the pilot development with an announcement about the program continuing in the fall. And I spoke with her last week following the announcement. Corey Williams, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Richard.
Sustainable Tulsa launched what you call the Triple Bottom Line Scorecard for businesses. What exactly is this Triple Bottom Line Scorecard?
The triple bottom line is people, profit, and planet. People being quality of life, profit being responsible economic growth, and planet being environmental stewardship. And our scorecard looks at the triple bottom line for our members. We had a final event on June 23rd, and we celebrated 24 of our pilot members' successes over the last few months about approaching sustainability efforts. And it was truly a celebration, and it was really exciting to see the work that all of our businesses worked toward this last couple of months.
So what did they work for? Changes in their business practices, the way they acquire materials to be more sustainable? What exactly?
Yeah, it was a combination of the things. The scorecard itself is the program has a tool, an online tool of 148 items that are divided in 7 categories. And those 7 categories include community stewardship, communication and promotion, energy, water, transportation, resource management, and healthy work environment. And our team, we had advisors working on this for the last 2 years, actually 50-plus professionals and over 2,500 volunteer hours to pull this program together. And our advisors determined that there were a few items that they should get started with, and we called those the cornerstones. And there were 13 items that we pulled together out of those 148 that we said, you know, if you're just getting started, this is where we recommend you start.
What are some of those cornerstones?
Yeah, so the cornerstones include vision, benchmarking, resource management, and quality of life. So for the vision cornerstone, that included having a company statement, having a team, and internally communicating your sustainability efforts.
So and a vision statement towards being more sustainable then.
Correct.
And so this is creating a company-wide ethos, basically, so that you can go and maybe hit some of these specific points, right?
Correct. You know, sustainability is really 50% communication is any of those action items that are within the scorecard. And throughout our scorecard, we give our companies many opportunities to re-communicate their sustainability culture and their expectations, because that's what we have to do to shift a culture, to shift expectations. And so that's why we made that one of the cornerstones. And we made the communication internally part of that as opposed to the external. And you can get a point for externally communicating. We want that as well. But it's internally communicating what those expectations are you need to do first.
I would assume that's very important for a large company where you have a lot of managers making decisions, and that sort of internal communication reminds them that that's important in making those everyday decisions, right?
Correct. And you really need, and then that comes back to your team as part of that vision component of the scorecard. You really need a cross-functional team. You need a team that reaches across different departments so that you can communicate. One of the things we found out yesterday, or it was reported yesterday, was one of the biggest pieces that was a gift out of the scorecard for our members was that spending that time communicating with those other departments, realizing what's really going on across the hall and how that kind of built on their sustainability efforts, understanding what else is going on.
Interesting. So it just adds to better communication across departments within a company. Now, were these pretty large companies, or were they a mixture of large, medium, and small size companies?
Yeah, it was a combination of such. There were 24, and just to name a few, Bama companies, the Chamber of Commerce, PSO, Covanta, Tulsa Zoo, there were some of the larger companies. We also had some construction and architectural firms, for instance, Terracon Consulting, SGA Design, and Dewberry. And then we had some smaller companies like our coffee shops downtown. We had Foolish Things and Chimera and Laffa and Elote and I Love Salon and Day Spa. So we really got a whole breadth of different types of companies that were involved. There were 24. And we wanted that. We wanted to kind of see how did this program fit with the different types of companies involved.
So your seven cornerstones, the first one, vision, but some of the other ones like a quality of life for the employees or quality of life for the community or in the company's relationship with the community or what exactly?
Yes.
All of the above.
Yes. So the quality of life component within our healthy work environment component of the scorecard, that particular category, we address air quality issues. We also address healthy lifestyle issues as well. And so we wanted them to approach ergonomic opportunities for their businesses. You know, really, if your employees are working and they're healthy, then you're making money. It's when they're gone and they're unhealthy that you are losing money. And so that's...
So you're talking about health programs for your employees as far as like, you know, weight reduction, smoking reduction, you know, smoking
cessation.
Healthy
snack options, yeah. Everything. You got it. Mm-hmm. And then, but you have to go outside your walls. That quality of life also extends outside your walls, and that's the community stewardship component of the scorecard. And so we brought that element into that particular cornerstone. And we wanted our members to be a part of that community stewardship culture. And really, that's the easiest one for Tulsans. We're just a very gracious and giving community. And that was an area that everybody excelled in.
Now, there's certain type of community stewardship, and one would be very easy if you are a consumer-related company where you're seeing the public on a regular basis. But some of those businesses are sort of business-to-business. How do they do that community stewardship beyond just helping other organizations, but within their business cycle, working with other companies?
You know, they're all very creative, and that's what's so fun about sustainability, the innovative practices and working with the community. For instance, you know, one of our business members, Deloitte, they just recently had a day of caring, and they helped Gateway put in a Monarch way station. So there's just so many ways you can be about getting outside your walls and doing something better for the community that doesn't have to completely relate to your business practices.
Right. Now, you said there were 148 different measures. Of these companies, where did you see the greatest sort of compliance or the greatest number of points given away in the scorecard?
Yeah, good question. So, again, there were seven categories, and I want to say that of those 24 companies that were involved, there were almost 600 items accomplished in the last few months, which I think is notable that it's the first time that I'm aware that there's been a benchmarking of sorts of what type of sustainable activities are happening in the community. And that was actually even a surprise to me when I started calculating all of those items together like that. And so, and that's just a pilot year. So we're
And you're talking about these are efforts that have really just taken shape over the course of the last 12 months?
Well, I would say of our members that were part of this pilot year, some came in, they utilized this as an organizational structure for themselves. They took it on as this is going to start our sustainability efforts internally. It's going to ignite their team. Others were telling us what they've been doing over the last decade or so. And then some really were just trying to do those minimum cornerstones this year, try to get those done and see where they place themselves. And so, and all of that's acceptable. We really just wanted to make a place for people to get started and to report. Reporting is very important. And so that was kind of how many of them did approach the program. The area, though, that you asked what area did we see the most was resource management. That's solid waste management. And that's partly because we required four items within the scorecard to relate to that, which was benchmarking your waste as well as having one reduce, one reuse, one recycle item that you're doing within your company.
Hmm. Now, and so when you're benchmarking, you know, the solid waste from a company, is it a matter of how much are you recycling? How much is actually going to the dump, basically?
Yeah.
How do you measure that?
Right. So you're measuring how much solid waste leaves your site and how much of that solid waste is leaving as recycled content. And one of the things that we saw within our pilot members is benchmarking was the hardest thing to do.
I would imagine. Yeah. That's why I was having difficulty asking the question. Is somebody going to go weigh the trash?
Yeah. Well, and you know, there's multiple different ways to do it depending on the size of your company. And really benchmarking all of those items, kind of knowing where you're starting. And that's why we said it was important. You have to know what resources you're using so then you can identify how you want to reduce on that.
I would imagine there were a lot of surprises for some of these business leaders when they actually saw some of these questions answered as a part of the benchmarking.
Yes. And then, you know, what it also inspired is then they want to start tackling some of those items to approach energy conservation or water conservation. One of our members, because they benchmark, and I want to add that one of the things that we're adding for next year for this program is a benchmarking portal. Since that's so hard for some of our companies, we're adding a portal where companies can benchmark their energy, their water, and their solid waste, and for a pretty reasonable price to be able to not have to do that yourself and get out all the spreadsheets, but you actually do that and can get an Energy Star rating if it's applicable to your industry. And so we're pretty excited about launching that as well. And one of our companies, because they benchmark their resources, they identified that they had a leak. And because of benchmarking that and finding the leak and fixing it, they will save $10,000 in the coming year based on that. And so benchmarking can be a very bottom line issue, but it is that triple bottom line issue. It is understanding that you want to save on the bottom line, but you also want to protect natural resource use. And so anyway, we were pretty stoked to see that one of our members really benefit from that benchmarking tool.
Now, when you look at energy uses and water usage, obviously you have your utility bills, but in a big company, there's all sorts of energy usage, you know, from fleet cars, from trucks going out on a site. Are you benchmarking all of that?
We would be benchmarking what the facility is using. There are other tools to benchmark your fleets, and there are other tools that you can access for those. But our benchmarking tool will just be looking at the facility energy use.
Now, if you saw some areas where a lot of companies made progress, where was the area where they made the least progress?
Wow.
You know, I mean, where it showed up as, wow, there, you know, not a lot of the 148 little check marks in that particular area were checked. Or did you see pretty much all the way through companies making progress?
But well, you know, that's a good question. It kind of depended on how that particular company decided to take on this opportunity to organize themselves. And we required only one energy item, which is to benchmark your energy. And it was really interesting that that was probably the category that was the least amount of items that people approached. And I don't know if that's because that's all that they only reported the one item we requested. Part of the cornerstones, although there were over 33 energy items they could have done through the scorecard. So that was the area. And I guess the surprising part is that's where you can find some of your biggest savings. But I do predict that next year, the ones that benchmark will be doing a lot of the energy items.
Yeah, right. And well, I'm about to ask you, especially on energy issues, you know, in sustainability in general, nearly all businesses will at least, at the very least, pay lip service to sustainability. I assume one of the things this scorecard does is see how much of that lip service actually goes into action. But one of the things, when you look at like energy usage, you know, that seems to ebb and flow when energy prices fluctuate. When energy prices are high, we're all very energy conscious. When, as we are now, where energy prices are pretty stable and comparatively low, we sort of lose that focus. Will the scorecard maybe help companies keep that focus even when the gas pump and the monthly utility bill is not hurting them as much as it would be in other times of year?
Most definitely. Our program is designed where each company has a volunteer coach that's there to help them guide them through the scorecard. And we meet monthly with those coaches to go over any questions that they have come over with their company and just to discuss issues in general with the scorecard. And so promoting some of the conservation opportunities, energy conservation opportunities, is definitely part of what we do through our other programs with the B2B Case for Sustainability, as well as our informing our coaches. One of the things that we've seen when it comes to energy conservation is one of the low-hanging fruit and has this added benefit is changing to LED light bulbs. The energy conservation there is really off the charts, and it also improves, especially like on a manufacturing floor, being able to see the items, and it improves quality of work. We've heard that from several of our members and several people that are using the PSO program, the LED program that they offer on demand side service. So there are so many low-hanging fruit opportunities, and we will definitely be promoting this.
So like with the LED light program, that actually benefits worker quality of life too.
Correct.
As well as saving energy.
Yeah, it can reduce on injuries. So it's a safety issue as well to have better lighting. And at the same time, you're saving money. So it's that triple bottom line opportunity, reducing on the resource use, the natural resource use, saving money, and improving the quality of life of your workers.
Yeah. When you look at the employee sort of quality issues of you know, work environment, did companies find interesting things in the course of this year?
Well, one of our favorites, actually. I mean, we had a blast. We had a team. Like I mentioned, we had 50-plus professionals that help us review and prepare this program. And one of the processes in the spring is all of our members sent in their items that they accomplished. So we divided that our teams up in those 7 categories and reviewed those. In the healthy work environment, one of our companies decided to do a step program where they had who could do the most steps during the course of the week. And the one that did the most got a bottle of wine. And we thought that was pretty creative way to incentivize. And they actually got a bottle of wine at our final event for that program. But yeah, there's a lot of great programs out there. You know, BAM Industries is really leading the way when it comes to quality life issues for their employees. And so part of this program is connecting our companies together so that if they want to improve their quality of life opportunities for their employees, they've got this network of people that they can work with.
Now, what was the reaction from CEOs once they've gone through this process? I mean, I know this pilot year just finished up, but have you heard from CEOs from these companies as saying it made a difference for the company in some way?
Well, we're still in that pilot phase, and we'll be getting that feedback this year. I will say at the event, at our final event, June 23rd, we had one of the representatives, one of the CEOs there said that they were going to start approaching some energy conservation measures. He got really excited about the results of the day. So I definitely see that they're going to see those benefits. The sustainability reporting and organizing all that together and seeing what their staff's working on and how that it's saving on the bottom line. And the whole idea is also is to retain quality employees. You want people to feel like they're working in a place that cares about them, that wants to make a difference in the world. And that's a trend. That's what we're seeing. And so we're really helping companies organize that data internally and communicate it.
I would think some companies have a pretty good sense of that going in, but there are others that probably don't know where to start. Is this what this scorecard's for?
Yeah, I mean, we really, it's for wherever you are, wherever you're getting started. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea. We just want to help. Education toward action is the idea of this tool. And then we want to celebrate them and make a big deal. And we want to let the community know who's working on sustainability issues. And our program is acknowledging those efforts. And so we're pretty excited about the enthusiasm and the work that all of these pilot members did. And a lot of them came up to me at the final event and said, you know, we're excited about working on this next year. These are some of the things we want to work on, and we want to improve our score. And, you know, we really wanted to make this that they're competitive with themselves, not with each other, that they, you know, there's a different ways to compete. And so that was kind of our aim is, you know, for them to kind of compete with internally with themselves and say, hey, we can do better. Let's work on this category this year.
Now, of the 24 companies, how many are likely to stay with the program next year?
That's a great question.
You don't know yet.
We don't know yet, but from the response yesterday, I think we'll retain quite a few of our members.
Yeah.
And we already have others that are interested.
So I was going to say, if you're a company, you own a company or you're involved with a company, how do you get the company involved in the scorecard effort?
Well, first of all, they can contact me, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at sustainabletulsa.org, and let me know that you're interested. We are right now working on our landing page for that where companies can sign up. So by the end of the summer, after we've reviewed our pilot year and made some tweaks to it and improved it, we'll be launching it out. But there's a transition opportunity. So if they're ready to get started before we make the launch this fall, they can contact me at Corey@sustainabletulsa.org.
Yeah. Now, one of the things for the pilot programs, you had these coaches that come in to help mm-hmm. the company sort of devise ways to reach the goals.
Right. And we were really overwhelmed at the quality of those that applied to be coaches. Definitely professionals in the field of consulting, as well as just within different segments of sustainability. And so we felt like, you know, a company not only got a coach, but they got 20 quality coaches because they all collaborated and helped each other through this process. So we will be requesting new coaches for next year. And so looking for that on our website at sustainabletulsa.org as a way to stay in tune with us.
My guest today is Corey Williams, the Executive Director of Sustainable Tulsa. Sustainable Tulsa launched the Triple Bottom Line Scorecard for businesses at the end of their pilot year. And I guess you're hoping this, the first full year of this, and will you have limits on how many companies can participate, do you think?
I don't think so. We're definitely getting some incredible enthusiasm to get started. And we had some folks that were over from Oklahoma City and says, you just don't see this type of activity going on in Oklahoma City. And really impressed with what we're doing over here. And it speaks of our community. We have an incredible community here in Tulsa. There's a lot going on, and we're helping to organize those efforts.
I was going to ask where we are on the curve of American cities. Are we sort of behind the curve? Are we catching up now with something like this? Or is this out on the sort of the front lines?
Right. You know, I had this opportunity to go to this conference this last spring on corporate responsibility reporting. And I went there kind of thinking, well, I may decide we need to scrap this program and start over and or buy somebody else's program or something like that. But I really came back feeling really inspired and energized that we are on the right track, and involving all these professionals in our community to help develop this tool was the right decision. And we are definitely, if not ahead of the curve in some communities that you would expect to be more sustainable, I think we're right on track, and I'm really proud of where we are. To answer your question, I think that there are communities you might expect to be more sustainably focused and organized than Tulsa. But I think there's a lot going out there that we haven't even been able to calculate, and that's part of what we're doing.
Yeah. Now, the scorecard is probably taking up a lot of your efforts. You're a very lean operation. I know this.
Yes.
How does this affect other programs that you've had, like your business-to-business conversations? Will that continue with the scorecard, or are you really going to focus more of Sustainable Tulsa's efforts into sort of developing the scorecard? Because it seems like this can be a major conversation. A lot of those business-to-business conversations are happening through scorecard.
Right. So we will maintain all of our programs, which is First Thursdays, the B2B Case for Sustainability, and the Henry Bellman Sustainability Awards. How will we do that? Well, we're excited that we're going to be able to hire a part-time person in July. So we'll be posting that out soon. So that's how we'll be able to maintain. And again, I have an amazing slew of volunteers and interns that have really helped us push us to this point.
That sounds like, from what I understand, that's you're growing the organization by 25% with that half-time position.
You know, I love what I do. I'm very passionate about it, and I feel that there's enthusiasm for it, so it keeps me going.
Well, you mentioned the Bellman Awards. You've been doing the Bellman Awards for a number of years. What are the awards about? And tell me a little bit about the Bellman
Sure.
Awards.
The Henry Bellman Sustainability Awards is a partnership program with the Rotary Club of Southside Tulsa. Very thrilled to have that partnership. This is our seventh year of the Henry Bellman Sustainability Awards. And what we do is we honor people statewide for their work in sustainability. Again, that triple bottom line, people, profit, and planet. So our awards are based on those three categories as well as the overall Henry Bellman Sustainability Awards.
Yeah. And you named it for Bellman for what reason?
You know, when we were trying to determine the name of this project or this awards program, one of our committee members did a lot of research of different names of who we could name it after, and Henry Bellman surfaced, and we definitely researched to see if there was anything in the closet that would jump out at us, and we didn't find anything. And what we did find is that Henry Bellman was a true statesman that was respected, and he reached across party lines and voted his conscience, and everyone reached out to him because they knew that he did his research and he was very thoughtful about his decision making. He also was a conservationist and
farmer. Yeah.
Yes, and we also had the great opportunity to meet his daughters that are definitely sustainably focused individuals. And the farm there that Henry Bellman grew up on, they've maintained that farm and teach sustainable practices out of the farm. It's Turtle Rock Farms. And the Bellman daughters have stayed involved with the program. They're one of the judges, and they're always a part of the gala itself. So we feel Having their involvement has been really wonderful. They're lovely people, and we're just thrilled to be able to maintain this program.
So for the companies that have won Bellman Awards, does it change practices at the company? Does it make them think more about sustainability? What exactly?
Well, again, we do have a big award ceremony. Mm-hmm. It'll be September 29th this year. And actually, we have you can apply for the awards this year. That's open until July 11th. And you can go to our website, sustainabletulsa.org, to apply, or also the bellmanawards.org to apply for the awards. And then we celebrate our awardees, and a video will be produced of their work, and of course they'll receive an award. We've seen several of our members really utilize that award as a way to communicate their sustainability efforts and really to promote what's going on. And it's fun to see the award around town. Of course, I know you're a big fan of the farmers market. Occasionally we'll see their award there for quality of life at their table. You know, last year, actually, TU won the Quality of Life Award for their bike program, and that was fun to see. Covanta Energy, they're pretty proud of their award. They won the Bellman Award 1 year, and I know that they utilize that to communicate their sustainability efforts and to encourage other people to get involved.
Well, it gets back to that what you call the main cornerstone of the scorecard, which is vision and communicating from the top that this is important throughout the whole company. How important is that to overall sustainability efforts?
It's essential. I mean, you can have one very enthusiastic person, and if that person leaves your company, you have nothing, because there is no way to continue to communicate their vision without them. So cross-functional teams, very important to sustainability. And, you know, but these awards are a way that teams can feel, you know, like, okay, our work came to something. Somebody recognized our efforts, and let's build on that. It builds morale. And also, the videos are well produced, and it's an opportunity then to share that out with their stakeholders. So vision, you can't do it without vision. And so that's why we made it a very important part of the scorecard.
And if companies want to participate in the next round of scorecard, when will that date to start come around?
It'll be announced this fall that businesses can get started with us. Again, right now we're going through and looking at the results of our pilot year, things that we think we need to improve on before we launch it out to the community. But we will have a transitional opportunity for companies to go ahead and sign up and get a look at the tool before we can connect them with a coach and ignite the program.
All right. Well, Corey Williams, I wish you great success with that scorecard and all the programs of Sustainable Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Rick.
Corey Williams is the executive director of Sustainable Tulsa, which recently announced its scorecard for businesses on sustainability. For more information about the program, you can visit sustainabletulsa.org. The next full class of the Triple Bottom Line scorecard takes place in September. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.
The University of Tulsa welcomes the Greater Tulsa community to a wide array of athletic events, artistic performances, exhibitions, academic lectures, and symposia held on campus. Our public events are open to all. Requests for accommodation of disabilities may be directed to Dr. Tawny Taylor at 918-631-2315. To ensure availability of an interpreter, 5 to 7 days' notice is needed. 48 hours is recommended for all other accommodations.